This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, let's look at pork production and hog prices. What's the outlook? USDA's World Ag Outlook Board Chair, Mark Jekinowski.
Pork production, we've made no changes this month. We have a new quarterly hogs and pigs report coming out at the end of this month, so that'll be a good opportunity to adjust our forecasts as needed for the balance of the calendar year. Hogs are also, I think, benefiting from both the high beef prices and strong beef demand, supporting pork demand and hog prices as well. Our hog price forecast this month, we raised $1.25 per hundredweight, now at $70.25 per hundredweight, and that would be up $1.45 year over year. And again, that's reflecting both strong domestic pork demand and export demand as well.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Okay, Bob, let's start with grains and oil seeds. Big sell-off in soybeans.
Yeah, to start out this week, I don't think it would be an overstatement to say the grains and oil seeds took it on the chin to start it out, right? If you look at corn, down a dozen cents, wheat, anywhere from 11 to about 17, depending on which variety you're looking at. And then for soybeans also, limit down in the old crop. The new crop, the November, didn't fare as bad, but still down 39 quarters. So a big course correction. And what's the catalyst, in my opinion? It's the headline. And the headlines are this. It looks like potentially the meeting between President Xi in China and President Trump that was supposed to happen at the end of the month might get delayed some. There's a lot of geopolitics going on with that, in addition to just the topics at hand with our oil seeds and trade barriers and such. But nonetheless, that is something that appears at this point the market is thinking could be postponed, which would be a big disappointment. And then also one of the key drivers of late has been the ramification of the military action going on in Iran, and that is obviously the energy prices and the huge moves we've seen. But yet today, the market for crude oil pretty much right where we are now, about $4 lower on the day, 92.75 or so. And that was after almost touching 100. So right near towards the bottom end of the trading range. So as long as the energies are negative and the news between the potential meeting that had been scheduled for China and Xi and Trump to get together has apparently at this point might be not so firm, those were enough of a catalyst on the headlines to push this market down. So that is that. If we kind of take a scan of some of the other things that are impacting these markets, take them one by one. For the corn markets, obviously, like I mentioned, the crude oil Middle East war premium was a major driver, and that's been at least softened a bit with the way energies are moving today. The rising fertilizer prices, they are supportive for corn prices because there might be some kind of movement in terms of acreage allocations out of corn if it gets too expensive because it's more nitrogen dependent. And we'll see how that plays out. The other thing that's been working favorably for corn is that there's still strong export demand. That basically remains a pretty bullish pillar for the market. The ethanol demand policy expectations are also supportive. There's been a lot of chatter out of Congress about getting things done in terms of the E15 year-round, so that's still in play. And then on the spec side of the equation, in specific with the funds, they've been buying of late, and that's added fuel to the rally. So we'll see how things play out. Generally, the support comes from, like I said, the energy-led strength, the rising fertilizer costs, the export demand is still solid, the ethanol demand, like I mentioned, and then that fund buying. And working against that a bit is the fact that the large specs are long. So if they all have to hit the exit at the same time, that's definitely something that we keep an eye on. And then probable possible pullbacks from the China trade headline risk, and then the South American corn production is still potentially sizable. So those are all playing against each other in the corn market. As for soybeans, really if we dig into some of the things that are impacting the market, again, that China, Xi, Trump meeting or non-meeting that could happen, we'll keep an eye on that, see how things evolve there. heavy spec fund length, so similar to corn. I think the latest number showed managed money around 222,000 contracts, and that helped fuel the rally, but it also means that you could be vulnerable when the correction, if and when a correction happens. The harvest down in Brazil is still expected to be record or near record crop, which is a bearish supply weight. I think the projections at this point, and there are various projections, but somewhere around the 178 to 179 million metric tons. So that should keep global supply rather ample. And then you've got that Brazilian export flow and port supply, which are working against the market here too. In terms of domestics, NOPA crush, domestic processing demand matter. Bean oil stocks are being watched closely, so if they're crushing it and then just storing it, that's not as good as crushing it and then selling it. The soybean oil has been a major source of strength. We know that. And clearly we're going to be watching the biofuel policy expectations. They're also supportive for the soy complex, just like that E15 for the corn. So we'll keep an eye on that pretty closely. Externally, palm oil strength is lending support. That's a good thing. Export commitments to China are decent, but not, I would say, overwhelming. Commitments are noted around a little over 400 million bushels, still below the earlier target of 440. The market might be overvalued if acreage expands more than expected. So it's that thing I was mentioning earlier about if any allocation of corn acres gets switched into soybeans because of the fertilizer and costs of production. We'll have to keep an eye on that. So soybean market basically looks relatively firm, even though today's action. So without that headline risk, I think it would have held up. We'll see how things play out. It's going to be super important over the next few weeks or so. And that's where we're at with those markets. In terms of wheat, generally speaking, I think that the primary driver to the upside is the freeze, heat, stress in the plains. We've got some relatively persistent drought, which is working its way there, although there was some alleviation. But I think forecasts are turning a little bit drier in the next 10 to 14 day. And then you've also got creeping dryness in the Black Sea and parts of Europe. So something to keep an eye on. And then the offsets to that would be the decent conditions in France so far, large crop expected out of India, and just in terms of competitive pricing, the U.S. wheat is already expensive on the world market. So a little bit of a pullback might be able to be some kind of catalyst for new demand. So we'll see if that stimulates some new buying of our market there. So plenty of things to be looking at these days in terms of trying to discount where the price should be. And we'll just take it event by event and headline by headline and plan accordingly.
Talking with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Bob Maurer is with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, let's talk livestock.
Yeah, you talk about the tale of two markets with the grains and oilseeds falling back today like they did, and the live cattle market showing some pretty good gains. So a bit of a seesaw action there. The movement today was favorable, looking to the upside here in the cattle futures, looking at maybe 230 to 290 higher in the first couple months, and feeder cattle a little over 6 cents or $600 a hundredweight higher on average, and almost ending 7 cents higher on the April feeder cattle. So last week, we traded lower in cash. So this is shrugging off that negativity pretty well. The Southern Live last week was around 233 to 235, which was down $3 to $8 lower than the prior week. And Northern Dress traded around 372. Fed cattle slaughter, though, still remains well below last year. Weekly slaughter was estimated about 525,000 head. And we obviously know that that's because of the supply side situation. So that's a structurally supportive element. Heavier carcass weights are still there. Average dress weights are pushing towards 900 pounds, 896 to be exact. That's way above last year and far above the five-year average. So that offsets a bit of the reduced cattle slaughter. Boxed beef remains very strong, and I think that's a key underlying support. Choice boxed beef pushed up near about 398 per hundredweight last week, and that definitely shows that the demand is there from the wholesale side of the equation, so that's definitely supportive for the market. Improved packer margins, okay, with the decrease in price and the cash price, that is, and the box beef holding up pretty well. That's going to help things line up better in terms of reducing losses or hopefully, you know, improving the margins one way or the other. I don't know if they're negative, out of the negative quite yet, but still improving, and that should help future demand if that continues. And generally speaking, you know, you got that mixed near-term support and some headwinds that are hitting at the same time. So like I mentioned, the JBS strike and the lower cash cattle trade are the primary headline headwinds, and then supportive structures, the year-over-year decrease in slaughter, the strong box beef, and the relatively tight cattle supplies. And also, if there's ever going to be a start to a rebuild of the cattle industry here in the U.S., cattle numbers, we're going to have to start retaining some heifers, and there's still no Mexico border reopening quite yet. So a number of bullish elements there. As for the hogs, I'd say that outlook is probably mixed to maybe slightly bearish over the near term. On the bull side of the equation, you've got the firmer cash hog index. You've got the pork cutout values that are around $100, so still holding up pretty good. Retail demand is steady and constant, so that's decent. And then you've got some recent strength in some of the pork primals, although those can be kind of volatile, but we'll take the strength when it comes. Working against that a bit is the slaughter that's remaining pretty large. You've got supplies that are not tightening. And then in terms of the funds, the big spec fund money, they're heavily long, and that could mean that if they have to hit the exits at the same time, you might see some kind of decent correction in price. And the charts also have kind of weakened a bit. So just technical trading, one might expect there to be a little pressure just based on not a huge constructive structure in the hog chart itself. So we'll see how that all plays out. But for the week to start, real nice move to the upside for the cattle sector there, both live and feeder, and about steady for the hogs. So we'll keep an eye on those grains. Obviously, that's going to be on the top of traders' minds, and see if there's any new developments in terms of any export sales or any new news that might come along and that we should be ready for.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Guest today is Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, contact info.
Yeah, you can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053. If I can't get to the phone, I'm likely chatting with the customer, so just leave a message real quick, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Otherwise, you can reach me via email at bmaurer@manducatrading.com. That's B-M-A-U-R-E-R at manducatrading.com. Or come visit the website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
It's Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski.
Beef production, we lowered down to 25.8 billion pounds. And this reduction is just based on recent slaughter data, seeing a little bit of a slowdown in the rate of slaughter, which isn't too surprising given the very tight packer margins that we're also observing in the industry, though slightly offsetting that slower pace of slaughter were some higher cattle weights. But overall, beef production adjusted lower this month. And year over year, if realized, U.S. beef production would be down about 190 million pounds. Steer prices continue to be very strong. Beef prices are high as well. The beef cutout has shown some strength recently, a little bit ahead of the typical seasonal increase, so that has provided some support for cattle and steer prices as well. So our steer price forecast this month, we raised $1.75 per hundredweight, now at $242 per hundredweight, and that would be up $17.63 per hundredweight year over year.
It's the Agribusiness Report.